We are liable to read some things that may offend you because the Word of God is offensive. It will tell you when you need to change. It will tell you when you're wrong. It will tell you when you've been wrong the whole time. And I love His Word. And I'm going to tell it like it is. If you don't hear another thing in the next few minutes, what I want you to leave this building knowing is that God loves you so much. Whatever's going wrong in your life, He's there to help you fix it. It's not like you got to sit there and run God down. He's meeting you right where you're at. This is an interdenominational ministry. It always has been. It always will be. I don't care what denomination that you are, and I am not against denominations. That's why we're interdenominational. I married a good old Catholic boy. I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're Presbyterian, if you're Methodist, if you're Church of Christ, if you're whatever it is. At the end of the day, I hope you're saved. I hope you're saved. John chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I'm going to tell you, for the believer, you're not perishing. You're going to eternal life. There's a promise there. There's a promise there. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. If there is condemnation working and flowing and operating in your life, it is not from God. I'm going to tell you to forgive yourself for whatever it is that you've done in your past that wants to make you feel guilty. I'm going to say that one more time. God doesn't want you feeling and living in guilt. You know how many believers feel guilty about all the things that they wish they could change? Look here, you're not changing what you did. But you know what? God has just given you a clean slate. What could ever be better than that? Amen. Take the clean slate. Take Him at His word. What would happen to your life if you just began to agree with what He said? The most powerful thing that we can do as believers is line our life up with His word and believe what He says about us. Every bit of it's true. The promises of God are yes and amen. What does that mean? They're for you. They're for you. I don't care if you're a felon, a drug addict, a little person that thinks you're better than everybody else. I don't care what you are, and I don't care what your last name is. Amen. Because all of that, it's irrelevant. That's right. Mm-hmm. But I certainly don't want you walking around feeling guilty, because quite frankly, we serve a better God than that. So He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through His Son. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Verse 19, this is what we're going to talk about this morning. This is the verdict. What does that mean? This is how it is. If I go to a doctor, if I go to a whatever I'm going to, I want them to tell it to me plainly. What are we dealing with? This is where the Word of God tells us. This is the verdict. This is how it really is. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light. See, there was always a problem with people, humanity, giving their affection to everybody else but the one that deserved it. Light came into the world. Men hated it because they loved the darkness. Because they loved it. Not because they just entertained it a little bit, but because they had a love for the darkness that they allowed to come in and live with them. And no, I'm not talking about your husband or your wife. Stop it. All right, I got you to laugh. That's good. I didn't know if I was dealing with a bunch of uptight people or what. Or what? Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness. Men loved darkness. How many of you know that they still love it? That's why we're in the society that we're in. It's because even Christians love the darkness that they're hiding from everybody. Even Christians love the darkness that they're hiding from everybody. And here's the deal. I don't want you to come in here and fake whatever it is going on in your life and tell everybody that everything's fine. If you're not fine, don't come up in here and feel like you've got to put on a mask and say, I'm fine. If you are messed up, I want you to just come in here and just say, I'm messed up today. A few weeks ago, somebody came in to the building and they were drunk. And their family said, you want us to send them home? And I said, why would you send them home? Get their drunk butts, put them in the pew, and let the Word of God wash over them.
Amen.
You don't think God would want the drunk person in the church too? Here's what I've learned after my entire childhood in the ministry and my adult life and everything else. Most people that come into the church are drunk. Exactly. Most of them are drunk on their problems. They're so intoxicated by what is going wrong in their life, they can't give God the time of day to sit there and even get into the worship service or get into the message or whatever. Let's keep this real. Let's just keep it real. No, this isn't going to be your average church. We don't need one more of those churches, by the way. We need somebody that's going to have some grit and just tell it. Here we are. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light. And here's the reason. I love the Word of God because it'll tell you something, and then it'll give you the reason why. And I like that because the more we try to figure things out, the more we get it wrong. Like, oh my gosh. I need a YouTube video, the written instructions. I need to watch somebody else do it. Like, I need lots of things to get me right where I need to be. Here's why. Men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Because the deeds were evil. I still see this verse extremely relevant today. I'm asking you this morning, is there a part of darkness that you love? Is there a part of darkness? And when I say that, what I'm really saying is there some sin that's on in your life and you love it and you're letting it stay? See, we didn't like the light because at the end of the day, our deeds were evil because we loved the darkness. There were some things going on and we wouldn't change them. It's not the time to take a vacation from God. And it certainly isn't the time to take a vacation from your morals. Am I asking you to be a holy roller? Well-defined holy roller. I mean, I define myself as a holy roller, but I am not a religious person. I am a saved person.
Amen.
And most people, I don't even tell them I'm a pastor because I don't want them to feel like they've got to act any other way than themselves. I was in the dentist the other day, and they were like, and we can't find anything wrong with your teeth, but they're hurting, okay? And he gets back me in the chair, and he starts rubbing my head, and he's like, I don't know what is wrong with you, but your entire head is tensed up. Every muscle in your mouth and your jaw and your head is just all tense. I said, well, I said, I'm a pastor. And he like backed away from me. He's like, I'm really sorry for saying hell like 5 minutes ago. And I'm like, dude. I am living my life right because I think dentistry will be in hell, okay? So I am not afraid of a lot of things, but you get me in the dental chair and I'm a weenie. I don't like going. It scares me. I've got PTSD from that. I don't want you touching my mouth. I don't even like that sound. Okay? Is there some things in your life and you're saying, yeah, man, I've got some sin in my life. There's a part of the darkness that I love. And I love it to the point where it's become a part of me. I can't answer those questions for y'all, but you can. Because their deeds were evil. Because the deeds were evil. Search yourself. In the Psalms, David asked God to do something for him that was extremely powerful, and this is what it was. He said, Lord, search me and tell me, let me know if there is any offensive way inside of me and in my life. And I urge you and I challenge you to ask God that question. God, is there anything that I've got going on in my life that is offending you? That is offending you. Can we offend God? Yes, we can. He says it in his word. It's in the book of Psalms. Yes, we can offend God. What is one of the major things that we do to offend God? He has given everything. When he gave us his son, he gave us everything that he had. The whole enchilada right there. And yet people walk around and they can't give God not one thing wholeheartedly. Not one thing wholeheartedly. What was the last thing that you gave God wholeheartedly with your whole heart? God's not wanting a little sliver of you. He's wanting you. People say, you know, what does God really want from me? God wants you. God wants you. And not just the pretty good parts of you. He wants the failures, the addictions, the brokenness. Why? Because he's the only one that can do anything with those. We can't even do anything with those, Michelle. So why not just give them to him? You know? But it says that men love darkness more than light because of their deeds, because the deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Secret sin. Secret sin. Secret sins. If you can't keep it real with anybody else, please keep it real with yourself. Keep it real with yourself. We lie to ourselves more than we lie to anybody else. And that right there is where the evil deeds start, is the lie we tell ourselves. Most of the time that lie is, it's okay. It's all right. Because this one over here is doing something far worse than me. God's not going to be talking about Sally Sue with you on Judgment Day, okay? He's going to want to talk to you about you at that point. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Through God. Give God all of the glory that belongs to him. None of God's glory belongs to me or to you or to this one or that one. It all belongs to God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 13 through 16. What moral compass do you live by? I think one of the most disheartening things in society today is that just people don't have the morals that we used to have. Does that bother anybody else? I mean, it really bothers me. It bothers me that there's a lack of morals going on in this country. I heard the other day, and this, no wonder my teeth hurt because I hear things and it bothers me. And I can tell when I'm bothered because every tooth in my head will hurt, and I hate that. And when I get to heaven, I want teeth like Mercy Me, that guy. And I heard the other day, and maybe I am just getting older. I don't know. I'm only 40. I don't think I'm that old, but this is what I heard. And if you are, how many of you are still raising kids? Or you got a kid, or you got a grandkid, and you send them to places, okay. Here's what we got to get ourselves all on the same page over, okay? We have an obligation to the kids, and it's extremely hard to parent them because everybody in the whole society is telling you you're parenting them wrong because we've gone to gentle parenting instead of just parenting. And somebody told me this kid was sitting there in class, and every day, and this shocked me, and I'm so thankful that schools still do this, but they it was time to stand up and pledge allegiance to the flag. Now, my old school self says this, Carolyn, if your little bratty butt cannot stand up to pledge allegiance to the flag, I think that you need to go to China and live somewhere where you know what I'm saying? Now, that ain't going to get me brownie points, but that's how I feel about it. Now, that wasn't found in the Bible, but I'm going to explain to you why I feel like this. The kid wouldn't stand up to pledge allegiance. Frank, sweetheart, bring me that flag back there. This bothers me. I would like everybody that's ever served the country at some capacity to come up here and stand by your flag. Brother Larry's like, oh, God, she's getting me up. Yes, Brother Larry, I'm going to ask you to get up because it's important and it's an honor and you should be honored. If you served your country in some way, I'm going to ask you to get up here. Now, y'all just hang out there for a second. I'm going to explain something to you. Ain't nothing in this life free. Nothing. Salvation wasn't free either. It was very expensive. Freedom for us Americans, it was very expensive. These men were blessed to make it out alive. Many were not. And how dare us teach our children you can just do what you want to. I promise you, you do that enough, you're going to be visiting them over the phone on Sundays when you get to talk to them when they're pinned up. Amen. Ain't that right, Jack? Yes, it is. It's right. Yes. A lot of us parents, we're not doing a very good job, are we?
That's true.
Hey, don't you're not going to offend me.
Use this anymore.
There you go. There you go. That's exactly right. So I hear this kid won't stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. And like my blood's boiling. It's not my kid. I'd have slapped my kid. I'd have just told the teacher, please slap him for me. The kid says, I don't like this country. That's a problem. That's a problem. Because I'm going to tell you what. We are handing our everything over to the next generation. Look here, my dad blinked and I was 40. I've been pastoring here for 7 years. You think he ever thought he'd be sitting here watching me preach? Probably not, because he was busting my butt every time we came up in here. Every time. Okay, I had a rack of licks that I had accrued through the service, and every time after church we'd go home and I'd get my licks. I was hard to raise. But we got raised.
Right? Amen.
Problem is we are living in a society where my generation, we feel some type of way about however whatever happened in our raising, that we want to take it easy on the next set. And look here, the next set is really messed up. And Tanya, we're in trouble because we're handing it over to these kids and they won't even stand up to pledge their allegiance because they have no respect, because they have no honor, because they have no morals. And the key is not to be mean to those kids, but the key is to put something inside of them that they can live off of for the rest of their life. And there is only one thing that could be, Jesus Christ. Because we may get old, but He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're going to give your kids one thing, it amazes me. We'll spend $150 on a cake for this little Johnny that's awful, but we won't teach them how to love God. There's an off balance with what's going on. There's an off balance with it. Gentlemen, y'all can be seated, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you. It is time to be saved, to be a Christian. Am I sitting here and asking you to be perfect? No. Because I know that you're not going to be. But what I'm asking you to be holy as He is holy. Be saved. Allow your conscience to convict you when you do something that you shouldn't have done. Allow yourself to be able to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Those are four words that hardly anybody on the planet can really say. I'm sorry and I was wrong. And then, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Whatever happened to asking somebody that you hurt to please forgive me for what I did to you? Do we love darkness so much that we're going to let our haughty little arrogant selves off the hook every single time? Whatever happened to self-accountability? I didn't mean to even get off on that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I'm going to talk about what you are. What you are. In a world where everything is trying to constantly redefine us. You can't see a Hardee's commercial for lack of seeing a naked woman. And here's the deal. I love cheeseburgers. And what I don't want to see, if I'm going to eat one, is I don't want to see a half-naked woman that's going to look better than me, because then I won't eat the cheeseburger. Like, all the men are like, give me three cheeseburgers. And I'm like, great, I can't even eat one and be happy now. And the problem is she don't even look like that. There you go, Bobby. He's trying to figure it out for me. Thank you. You are, this is talking about the believer. You are the salt of the earth. You're what's supposed to make people thirsty. You are the salt of the earth. When people look at you, they should be thirsty for what you have and how you live your life. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Verse 14, this defines the believer. For every single person that's gotten confused about who they really are in Christ, this is the verse that you start with. You are the light of the world. You are. Or you're supposed to be. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That's what we've allowed society to do to us. Our lamp is lit, and because we don't want to be confrontational or because we don't want people to think that we're being judgmental. That's the problem where people and believers get stuck in, is we care so much about we want to walk in love. Yes, we do. We want to be loving. We want to be this and we want to be that. Yes, we do. But you know what we also want to do? Be accurate. Be accurate. If you are denouncing your morals just because you don't want to offend somebody, that's a problem. I'm not saying start fights in the office or sit there and argue over politics. Lord knows we have enough of that. I am sick of it. You know how many people aren't friends anymore because this one doesn't like how this one feels? Who cares? We should not care, Carolyn. I'm picking on you today. I'm not going to stop being friends with you just because you're not voting for who I'm voting for. And if I was really a good friend, I wouldn't ask you who you're voting for. Amen? Because really, in the big realm of everything, what does that have to do with our friendship? Nothing. You know how many people, I guarantee you, in 6 months, they've stopped being friends with people they've been friends with for years over this. And it's garbage. It's absolute garbage. And Christians are just as guilty. I have seen people on Facebook I thought were good Christian people, and they are just being mean and awful along with the rest of the world. We shouldn't be like that. Because all the people that ain't saved, they're like, we don't want to be like them. And they go to this church. And you know what? Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you plan on being rude and hateful, please don't wear your Parish Christian Center t-shirt out in public. I am dead serious. My God. I walked into a place the other day and somebody said, boy, that person. And I ain't going to lie. They were talking about somebody that comes to church with us. And they're like, they're so rude. I'm like, no wonder my teeth hurt and I'm breaking out in hives. Because this person wears their Parish Christian Center t-shirt all the time. You know what? Act right. Act right. Please. Because ain't nothing going on that serious for you to lose your religion over something silly like that. Get over it. People are allowed to have a different opinion than you. I'm going to say that one more time. That's the key of the day, okay? People are allowed to have a difference of opinion than you. And that don't mean you need to be rude and terrible to them for the rest of your life. Yeah, Gary. That's what Michelle said. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. To everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We are the first verses that we read. It showed where people hated the light because at the end of the day, they loved the darkness because their deeds were evil. We are now being read a verse that says right here, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Your mouth, your walkie-walkie and your talkie-talkie should match up together and they should be in sync. That's called not being fake. People are going to see your deeds. They're going to see them. They're on a platform. Do you understand that your deeds could make somebody else praise God? God wants to capture everybody's attention in this moment. This is the moment that you're supposed to hear this morning. Your deeds have the power to make another person praise the living God. Not your words, not whatever you're doing, your deeds. Your deeds. Your deeds do. That should speak volumes for what you need to be doing with your life. Because God wants what you do. He wants to put His hand of blessing and favor over it. Because at the end of the day, your deeds have the ability and have the power to make another person, maybe a broken person, maybe a widow, maybe a poor little kid that has no shoes to wear to school. It has the ability to make somebody else praise God. Your deeds do. Talk is very cheap. It's very cheap, but your deeds speak volumes. Last year, in June, actually in May, I was driving to church on a Sunday morning, and I had been getting pallets of food in, and they were really kid-oriented. Usually I would just say, we're going to put those out gradually on Wednesday, and we'll work our way through them, and that'll be the end of it. That's called closed thinking. Look here. Does God have the ability to come in and say, hey, this is how we're going to do it?
Yeah. Amen.
Or are you so used to how you've been doing it that you ain't going to entertain nothing else? Well, God knows I'm like a squirrel, so I am down for anything. Here I am working. Frank was driving me to church, and I'm sitting here praying and meditating over the service. And God goes, Kelly, the little kids in Logan County are on my heart, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to have an enormous grocery giveaway just for kids, just for them. And I thought, Lord, we already give out food like multiple times a week. You wanting me to do like another thing? Yes. Okay. Okay. I went in. I said, Sherry, we're going to do a grocery giveaway next month. And I thought, we may serve like 100 kids or something. 426 children from our area walked through the Manna Center, walked through here. Those kids got free eye exams. They got four flats of canned product. They got a whole chicken. They got a grocery bag of food. I was so anxietied up. You got that many little kids on your property, you're going to stress a little bit. And I was going so fast. And I was in the Manna Center, and we were standing there, Jeff and I. And he stopped me. Jeff, stand up. I want everybody to know who Jeff is. And he goes, Pastor Kelly, look. I know you're going 90 to nothing.
That's right.
Look out the window. And there were little babies from the door to the end of the parking lot trying to get in there. Mm-hmm. And we never ran out.
Amen.
We do. Your deeds, have the ability to make other people praise God.
Amen.
What is more important in life? You're not taking anything out of this life but souls. That's it.
Amen.
That is it. Thanks, Jeff. I teared up and I thought, I want to get myself like really into this. And we were getting all this chicken, and chicken mess was everywhere. I had it all the way everywhere, and this little girl came, and she tugged on my shorts. She wasn't even waist high. She was just probably 4 years old. Her face was dirty. Her clothes were dirty. She didn't have any shoes on. She said, Pastor Kelly, Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can I just keep some things real, real? I know that there are a lot of things going on in your life that are upsetting, that make you want to gripe, that make you want to complain. But I promise you, there's another side of your life that if you would tap into, you would get your joy back. And after all, what we understand and what we need to know about God is the joy of the Lord is our strength. You can't be strong complaining and griping about how your life sucks and you're not happy with this and how you're not happy with that. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that you're only hurting yourself when you do that, but that would also be a lie. Because when you decide to live your life like that, you're also hurting all the people that God ordained for you to love on, to minister to, for them to see your deeds, for them to praise God because of your obedience. Go with me to Psalm 18, verse 28. Psalm 18, verse 28. We all have some degree of some type of darkness that goes on in our life. And over the course of our life, we just have to, you got to work on it. And you got to say, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not thinking that anymore. I'm not talking like that anymore. There has to be that point. And here's where we get to. Psalms 18, verse 28. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God, there's an ownership there. See, Jeff, when I got problems, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying, oh, Jeff's God, please help me. No. God, you're my God, and I'm asking you to help because nothing else is going to make this situation right but you, God. Lord, you're my God, amen. And I'm not letting you go. See, the word says, my God turns my darkness into light. What an awesome verse to have in your life, flowing in your life. Feel the conviction about the darkness in your life. Feel it. If you're doing something wrong, if you have gotten into a bad habit of something that's not right, allow conviction to turn it around, because at the end of the verse, you need this verse living and operating in your life. My God turns my darkness into light. Amen. Does God have your permission to come into your life and change you for the better? Does he have that with you? What is that? Does he have your permission to correct you? To correct you. A lot of people can't take correction. Correction can come through a sermon. Correction can come through many ways. And what a lot of people do with correction is they run from it. Oh, that one said something I didn't like. That pastor preached on this. I'm leaving. Look here. God didn't call you to be a church hopper, okay? Go where you're supposed to go and stick there. Psalm 119, 105. Psalm 119, 105. What helps us come into light? The Word of God says here in Psalm 119, 105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. His word is. Amen. When you don't know which way to go, If you will get into His Word will direct you. His Word even goes as far to say, you know, when you don't know what to even pray, I'll intercede for you. Last place for me this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 9. This also is a defining verse for the believer. But you are, this is talking about you, this is talking about your life, this is talking about who you are. But you are a chosen people. See, a lot of people's problem is they never felt like they were chosen for anything. They were always the last one picked. Nothing special. Here's Christ, and He's redefining you here when He tells you, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. What is God calling you to for the rest of your life? He's calling you out of darkness. People say, well, I don't feel called to do anything. Look here. You're called to come out of the dark. And I promise you, when you start walking towards light, He will define the rest of you. He will define the rest of you. What is this message about? I challenge you this week, get into His Word. Let it define you. The areas in your life that you know are sin, work on those. I'm going to ask you right now, make an altar where you're at. We're going to get ready to take communion. This is open communion. We don't force anybody to take communion. We invite you to take communion. Begin to pray. There's a proper way to take it. Search your heart. Examine your heart. Is there anything in there that's between you and God? If there is, ask for forgiveness. Search yourself. Confess.